wonderful partners in the world. I pray today the Lord will really minister to you and bless you. Well, thank you for being with me today. And I thank the Lord for you with all my heart. You're the best. You are the greatest. I mean it. I really mean it. Today, I want to talk to you about the seven revelations of prayer. Do you know there are seven levels? And I like to call them the seven revelations because when we talk about the Word of God, and especially prayer, we go into depths, you know, in prayer. So I want to talk about that today and a whole lot more. But first, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time together. I pray today you'll bless your wonderful people. Let this be a great week for all of us, Lord. Minister your word. May your presence become rich and so real in our lives. We give you the praise. And all God's people said, amen and amen. I'm going to wait till you all come on and be with me. And it's so wonderful, really. I love doing this. I've been doing this now since March of last year. No, this year. What am I saying? This is still 2020. Anyways. And it's just so wonderful. You know what the Lord has done daily with us? We've built a wonderful family. It's been awesome. Just totally awesome. And I want to say, I'm so enjoying also BHI, you know. Hello to Joy. David, bless you. Mary, bless you. Ina. Tracy. You know, I really enjoy reading your names. I think you have the most amazing names, all of you. So precious, people of God. Pauletta, bless you. Suresh, bless you. Lusana, and Ashish, and Parve. You know, I was so amazed a few days ago when I was actually doing or teaching on BHI. And what was so amazing, one of the students was from Iran. And just got saved like 6 months ago. He lives in the UK today. I was just so blessed by that. So if anyone watching me from Iran today, I want you to know I love you. I'm praying for you. That God will bless you in Iran. The greatest move of God today in that part of the world is happening inside Iran. It's amazing. I want to read with you Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians, all of us. We're going to look at chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Notice how many times this verse says all. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. He mentions that 3 times. Now, when he talks about all prayer, what is prayer? Well, number one, prayer is confession. When we go and confess who God is, remember in the scriptures, in the book of Acts, they said, Lord, you are God. Daniel said, Lord, you are God. You brought Israel out of Egypt. So whenever we pray, we first declare who God is. That's what confession is. It's not about confessing our sin here, because prayer is confessing who God is in our life. Number two, supplication. Supplication is where we make our requests known to the Lord. Number three, adoration. When we begin to just worship Him and thank Him for His love and mercy, that's adoration. Then intercession. And intercession is born out of worship. Intercession is born out of adoration. So confession, we confess who the Lord is. then we make our requests known. That's what happened in the book of Acts, when the apostles came back after being threatened by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They said, Lord, you are God, and by the mouth of your prophet have said, behold their threatenings. Let signs and wonders be done, Lord. So that was the request. But first they said, you're God. And then supplication, requests. Then three, adoration, worship. Number four, intercession. This is where we begin to pray for the needs of our brothers and sisters around the world. And then communion. Communion is fellowship. Fellowship with the Lord. We begin to pray without ceasing. Fellowship with the Lord means without ceasing prayer. Our hearts are always connected with Him. And after that, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a wonderful form of prayer. We thank Him in advance for the things He's promised us. Number seven, praise. Where we bless Him and praise Him for the answer coming our way. These are the seven revelations of prayer I've discovered in the Word in that order, because whenever Jehoshaphat, when he won the victory, what did he do afterward? He praised, and he came to the valley of Beracha, blessings. Hallelujah. So I repeat them one more time. Confession, supplication, adoration, intercession, communion, thanksgiving, and then we praise Him for His mighty acts. Now, in Psalm 62, verse 11, it says, power belongeth unto God. But then we read in Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power. So what God declares is that His power now becomes ours. Psalm 62, 11, power belongeth unto God. But then ye shall receive power. Acts 1 verse 8. So with much prayer comes that power. With much prayer comes much power. With much power comes much prayer. So prayer is the power that moves the hand that moves the world. Oh, isn't that glorious? Prayer releases power that moves the hand of God. And it is His hand that moves the world. Manta kulal metro, I give you praise, Lord. So prayer does not, please hear this, prayer does not move mountains. It is God who moves the mountains. And it's our prayer that moves God to move the mountains. We talk about, you know, prayer that moves mountains, but we have to remember it's God who's doing the moving, not us. It is prayer that releases power, that moves the hand, that moves the world. That's God's hand. So think about the beautiful promise in Psalm 62:11. Power belongeth unto God. It's not ours, it's His. But I give you power. Now, you know, there's an old saying which I disagree with. The Lord helps those who help themselves. It's not even biblical. No, it's not biblical. We can't even help ourselves even if we want to help ourselves. We are helpless. Nuh-uh. The Lord helps those who help others. Not themselves. The Lord helps those who help themselves was an invention of somebody way back then. But the real word is what the Bible teaches. The Lord helps those who help others, who pray for others, who intercede for others. You know, in 1 Samuel, there's a blessed portion in 1 Samuel 12. So let's all go to 1 Samuel chapter 12, and verse 23. Now Samuel is talking to Israel and says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." In ceasing to pray for you. "But I will teach you the good and right way." So, when we stop praying for others, that's when we get in trouble. So, it's not God helps those who help themselves. It's God helps those that help others and pray for others and love others and support others. The Bible says, how can you say you love God if you hate your own brother? But the love of the brethren, when we love the brethren, we show we really are God's children, we are saved. So, it's important to understand, it's not all about me, and my. It's about what the church needs. So we begin with, we confess who God is. And then we make our requests. But then we intercede for those. After adoration, we intercede for those who are in need. The greatest thing you can do today is pray for the persecuted believers worldwide. 200 and almost 300 million today under persecution. Almost 300 million people. Every day I pray for the church under persecution. I did this morning. Every day I pray for those in many of these countries that are under persecution, many of those who are in prisons today just because they are Christians, just because they serve the Lord, many pastors. We're blessed in America, Canada, Australia, Europe, and other parts of the world. We're blessed, you know. But you think about people in other parts of the world that are put in prison for reading a Bible or having a prayer meeting or preaching the gospel to people. They have to hide in their homes and in other places to have church. We pray for them. Please don't forget that. I beg you. So let me just ask a question. Is God distant from your life? Is God distant from your life? Then my question is, who moved? Did God move or did you move? If God is distant in your life, it's only one answer. It's because people move. People move away from God, I mean. So when we pray, we get close. Draw nigh unto God. So draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. So when we draw nigh to the Lord, when we get close to the Lord, then he draws close to us. And that's really the secret that I have found in 50-something years now of being a Christian. That when I draw close, that's when he draws close. When I walk away, he walks away. The Bible says, if you forsake me, I'll forsake you. But if you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. What a precious Redeemer we have, who wants to be near us and waits for us to come to him. So let's talk about how we can have that amazing power in our life. Like I just said earlier, you know, power belongs to God, but that is, he said, ye shall receive power. But how? Well, he gives it to us when we draw nigh. Now, it's impossible to have the power of God in our lives. It's impossible to have all the seven levels of prayer in our lives if there is sin in our hearts. So in Psalm 66, I'm sure you know it by heart, but it's always good to read it. Psalm 66 and verse 18, a beautiful verse, it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." So we have to confess our sin then. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. In 1 John it says, and cleanse us, purify us, purge us from all unrighteousness. But we have to confess our sin. Without confession, there is no forgiveness. Truly. Bill Bright used to say, always keep a short list with God. Always keep your list very short with God. In other words, confess your sin quickly. Don't wait till next week to confess your sin. God loves it when we come to Him with a broken heart, because it says a broken heart He'll not despise. So if you want God to answer your prayer, number one, make sure that you are living clean. Number two, and this is Proverbs 28. I'm going to give you some wonderful keys today to see prayer answered in your life, all the seven levels of prayer working in your life. Proverbs 28, verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. That's a powerful one. He that turns away his ear from hearing the law of God, even his prayer will be an abomination. Imagine prayers becoming an abomination in the sight of God. You know what is an abomination? It's when people worship idols. It's when people commit fornication. It's when people do devilish things. It's when people go and seek witches to tell them their fortunes. That's an abomination to the Lord. You know what else is an abomination? When people pray and disobey the Bible, it's just like going to a witch and having your fortune read. Wow. So if you want God to listen to your prayers, obey Him. So obedience to His word. He that turns away his ear from hearing the law and obeys the law, even his prayer will be an abomination. Now here's a third one that is, to me, is remarkable. God will not answer the prayer of those who do what? Well, Proverbs 21:13, it says, whoever stops his ears at the cry of the poor, he will also cry, and God will not hear him. So prayer is blocked. God will not hear your prayer if you don't hear the cry of the poor. This is why in the book of Acts chapter 15 and many portions, it says, take care of the poor. Take care of the poor. Wow. God loves the poor, you know. And God takes care of the poor. When you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord, it says. Blessed is the man who considers the poor. Psalm 41, the Lord will deliver him in times of trouble. The Lord will preserve him. Protect him. The Lord will not give him over to the will of the enemy. These are all in the Psalms. The great blessings of Psalm 41. Blessed is the man who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. The Lord will not give him over to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on the bed of languishing. The Lord will heal him if he's sick. Amazing promises, isn't it? And I know those promises by heart because I've read them. So when we turn our ear away from hearing the poor, God will turn His ear away from hearing our prayers. Maybe you may have wondered why God has not answered your prayers. Because you have not heard the cry of the poor. I may be talking to someone who really needs to hear this. Maybe I've said, you know what, I don't understand why God has not heard my prayer. Sometimes, you know, you see people on the streets with a sign who are homeless, who are in need, who look desperate. You know, I know some people out there maybe just doing it to get extra money. But there are people out there who are really desperate, are in need. Sometimes I'll stop, you know, and I'll give them money. And there were times way back then in the past when I said, well, you know, they may use it for drugs or alcohol. And I heard the Lord say to me one day, He said, that's my part, not yours. That's what God will deal with, not that He will convict that person. I walked out of the car one day, I saw three people asking for help financially. I walked out. I said, why are you people out here asking? One guy said, I cannot find a job. I said, why? He said, because I have a record against me. I said, you know what? There's a store right here that will hire you. Even if you volunteer, they'll pay you. He looked like he was very able physically. I looked at the old lady. I said, why are you here? She said, I'm dying with cancer. Whoa, that touched me. She couldn't find work. She couldn't work because she was so ill. It's people like that we need to help. The one next to her, same thing, ill. There are people out there who ask for money on the sidewalks and the streets of America and the world who are not doing it with an honest heart, you know, sometimes. So that day when I walked out, I learned a lot. That man just did not want to work and used his record that he couldn't get a job. And finally said, well, if you go and volunteer, eventually they'll pay you. You look like you can stand in the sun all day long. You seem to be able to, you know, to stand there and not faint. If I stood there, I'd be fainting with all that heat. And he just scoffed at me. I still gave him money. I said, well, God will deal with him. But there's a lot of good people out there that need help. And there's a lot of children, orphans around the world that are in great organizations that also need our help. You know, the Bible says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing, and your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So we need to do this and not talk about it. God will bless you for it. Maybe God is talking to someone today. There are many orphans out there today worldwide who would love to hear from you. There are great organizations, wonderful ones out there. Baptist organizations, Pentecostal organizations that are doing great work. Look them up. And let's do our duties as believers. Now, here's another thing that we have to understand. So these three things I just gave you. If there's sin, God will not hear us. If we disobey the word and not listen, God won't hear us. If we ignore the poor, God will not hear us. Now, when you pray, you must come to the right place. There is a right place to come to, a right location. What is it? It says in Exodus 33, verse 7 to verse 11, how Moses built a tabernacle. And then I love what it says in that same portion, that he came where God was. That's the right location. You know, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 6, shut your closet. So, we always come to God in the right location, and the right location is where he is, not where we are. In other words, come and wait for him. Shut the door. Shut the world out. Come to that place of quietness, because that's where we honor him, when we say, Lord, this time is yours, no one else. So right location. Right location means the closet. Shut the door. Shut the world out. Moses came to the tabernacle where he met with God. Now, when you come to that place, wait for the Lord to draw you to himself. So don't begin praying right away, because only a fool begins to pray quickly. We have to wait upon the Lord to be quickened. So it says in Jeremiah 30:30, verse 21, and their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him. God says, I will cause him to draw near, and he will approach unto me. Then God asks an amazing question. He says, who, listen to this, this is amazing, who is this that engaged his heart to approach to me? So who can engage his heart without God engaging the heart? So frankly, what God is really saying is this. You can't seek him till he sought you. You cannot call upon him till he calls upon you. It's like meeting some king, you know, when I met King Hussein of Jordan. I could not call on the king. The king called on me and I came in. So we wait for the Lord to call upon us. We actually wait till we are quickened. Psalm 80 verse 18 says, quicken me, Lord, and then I'll call on you. There's a great scripture. This is Psalm 80 verse 18. But there's a great scripture too in Psalm 119. Sometimes I will read the word. You know, when we talk about waiting upon the Lord, what do we mean? Wait till he quickens you. Wait till it quickens you. Then you can really pray. Because prayer without quickening is just repeating words. May I say it again? Yeah. If people pray without being quickened, all they're doing is wasting their time saying words that God is not listening to. So wait till he quickens you, and then he'll hear you. In Psalm 119, verse 50, it says something powerful. It says, "This is my comfort in my affliction." So here's David going through affliction. What is my comfort? Your word has quickened me. When your word has quickened me, I'm comfortable, Lord. Now I can talk to you. So we have to come to the right location, but then we have to come to the right position. What is the right position? Under the blood. The Bible says in Numbers 7:89 that Moses came to the Holy of Holies. And in Leviticus 16, verse 14, he fell on the floor in the Holy of Holies. But what was he under? Under the ark, under the blood, because the blood covered the mercy seat. So the only place that God will hear you is under the blood. Remember what I just said. If you want God to hear you, come to the right location. Be alone with God. Your closet, your prayer room, a place alone. Shut the world out. Two, right location. Under the blood, like Moses, under the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. That's Numbers 7:89, Leviticus 16, 14 and 15. And finally, the right disposition. Now, the right disposition means ready to hear. In Numbers 7, and I want to read that to you, same scripture I just gave you, Numbers chapter 7 and verse 89, God said, "It's come to the place that I will talk to you." And when Moses was gone, this is verse 89, Numbers 7, when Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him, then he heard the voice of one speaking. So what is the right disposition? Be ready to listen, not to talk. I love what David said in Psalm 66 as I close. Psalm 66 and verse 16. Oh, this is beautiful. The word of God is rich to change our lives. "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." Come and hear, all you that fear God. So what is the right disposition? Ready to hear him. Right location. Be alone with him, shut the world out. Position, under the blood. Disposition, ready to hear him. I pray this has been a great blessing to you. And I'm going to say one more thing before I'm done. In prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart. I repeat, you like that, don't you, Chad? In prayer, when you talk to God, it's better to have a heart without words than words without a heart. Sweetest Jesus. Oh, Lord, give them that heart that doesn't need to have words with it, that you may be pleased with them. Give us all that blessedness of fellowship with you. Bring us into all seven levels of prayer, Lord. We might be strong in you and the power of your blessed Holy Spirit. Bless them today, Lord, with your word today. Enrich their life in the wonderful name of Jesus. And now I want to pray with you that God will bless your finances. Stretch your hands towards me, will you, and let's agree together. God will protect you from tomorrow's troubles financially. Keep you safe in his arms with peace in your soul and heart. Lord, in Jesus' name now I pray. Bless them financially. Prosper them as you promised. Give them the desire of their heart. Your word declares if we delight in you, you'll give us our desires. We love you, Lord. Now meet every financial need today. Bring them out of debt today. Let their future be peaceful and secure. Bless their business, Lord. I pray with every businessman, every businesswoman today. Bless their business and future and family. No more worries about money. No more worries about finance and financial matters. In Jesus' name, amen. You know how that happens? By giving. When we give to the Lord, He delights in blessing us back. The only way out of financial trouble is by giving to God, not by going to the bank and asking for a loan. That means you get deeper in debt then, huh? I've seen this happen in my life over and over and over. If I've ever had a financial need, I always sow a financial seed. If I've ever had a problem financially, whether in debt or legal things and this and that, I always sow a seed, and God always has met my need. Over 47 years of ministry almost now, and 50-something years in as a Christian, it's worked every single time. And it's not because I'm Benny Hinn. My problems are bigger than yours, believe me. When you're in ministry, our problems are bigger than your problems. But God has met those needs every single time. Do it now, will you, and see what God will do for you. You can sow your seed to Benny Hinn Ministries right now. Just go to BennyHinn.org or sow right there on the platform you're watching me on where it says donate or give. Or simply text BHM 45777. And join BHI, the school I started a few months ago, with over 2,000 students. Here I give you good milk. On BHI, I give you good meat. It's all foundational doctrine that will really bless your life. And as a result, God will use you. If you want God to use you, you need to join BHI, Benny Hinn Institute, for $25 a month. Simple. And you get archives by the thousands of hours, besides me teaching live every Monday and every Thursday. All right. I love you. I'll see you tomorrow, Tuesday.